The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Is Germany doing enough on defense?
The Chancellor wants to
spend 3.5.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't discussed it very much. I know that you're spending more money on defense now. And quite a bit more money. And that's a positive thing. I'm not sure that General MacArthur would have said it's positive. You know, he wouldn't like it, but I sort of think it's good. You understand what I mean by that?
Well, I understand.
He made a statement, never let Germany rearm. And I said, I always think about that when he says, sir, we're spending more money on defense. I say, ooh, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think it's a good thing. But, you know, at least to a certain point. There'll be a point when I'll say, please don't arm anymore if you don't mind.
Well, that seems significant, that exchange there. Completely overshadowed, by the way, because of the epic feud between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com. Or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. We've got the evening replay at LFA TV, and that too is at Rumble. So there's the President of the United States sitting down in the Oval Office with the Chancellor of Germany saying that, you know, I'm happy that Germany's rearming. And, you know, General MacArthur might disagree with me. We're not exactly sure which MacArthur quote the president was referring to, but he's right in the sense that a lot of people, a lot of important people, a lot of prominent individuals, leaders, less than a century ago, 80 years ago, coming out of World War II, they said never, never, we will never let Germany rearm. And there's the president of the United States yesterday saying, I think it's a good thing. And then incredibly, he said, there may come a point where I say, please don't arm anymore, as if that'll solve everything. I mean, there may come a point when we'll have to make a deal. Okay, now you need to stop arming. Now you need to stop building all these weapons. I mean, we're living, the president acknowledged that there's hatred all over the place. And I talked to Putin the other day, and he's going to retaliate for that audacious attack from Ukraine. He said there's a lot of hatred. I'll play the clip in a bit. And yet, in the same breath, you know, hey, we can make... Have we had a lot of success making peace? Whether it's Russia-Ukraine or between Hamas-Israel, the mullahs, and Israel? Well, there's lots of talk about peace. But where is there actually peace? There's a verse in Isaiah 59 that says, we don't know the way to peace. And I mean, you're seeing this on a national level, and then you're seeing it on the individual level as well. I mean, here's this epic public feud out there in front of everybody. These kinds of things used to be dealt with in private. I'm talking about the feud between President Trump and Elon Musk. But now, I mean, we're in the age of social media. So the whole world knows. I mean, last week, the bromance was raging. I mean, they were just praising each other, gushing over each other with the big, beautiful send-off from the Oval Office. That was a week ago today. And then there's the disgusting abomination that's called the Big Beautiful Bill. And boy, did that lead to a big, beautiful breakup just yesterday. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, I mean, the relationship is over. Isn't it just like the devil? to completely overshadow what should be the big news from the Oval Office yesterday. The talking head, just imagine, play along with me, if you will. Imagine the talking head saying, well, you know what? President Trump brings up a good point. There are a lot of U.S. leaders and generals, Winston Churchill, Lord Ismay. I mean, all of these people that said Germany should never, ever, ever, ever rearm. Let's talk about that. Let's get a panel together and let's discuss this. How many of them discussed it? Zero. Zero. You wouldn't have heard that clip were it not for this program. Instead, you're hearing about Elon Musk. You're hearing about the feud. You're hearing about the beautiful breakup. Let's just label everything beautiful, shall we? It's all the beautiful bromance, the beautiful send-off, the beautiful breakup, the beautiful bill, and the beautiful peace. The beautiful ceasefire, the beautiful return of all the hostages. But what is the reality? And you know, another interesting point here, and believe me, I'm trying to wrap my mind around 1,000 different points to make, given what happened all day yesterday. But another important point to make here is that Donald Trump knows. He knows, whether the quote's from MacArthur or whoever, he knows that embedded into our history, coming out of World War II, I mean, we saw the level of destruction. And we vowed it's never going to happen again. Never. And then not long after that, I mean, the nuclear arms race began, the Cold War between Russia or the Soviet Union and the United States. This massive buildup of weapons that could destroy the entire Earth many times over. I mean, this has been man's history. There's lots of hatred. Donald Trump sees it between Russia and Ukraine, but it's everywhere. The spirit of murder. But look, if he knows, I mean, it shows he's not ignorant. He's not ignorant. And if you know, the Bible teaches us that God holds you accountable for what you know, for what you do with that information, for what you do with that knowledge. He said, I'm not sure that General MacArthur would have said it's positive. For Germany to rearm, he meant. He wouldn't like it, but I sort of think it's good. I sort of think it's good. Never let Germany rearm, he said again, paraphrasing MacArthur, and then said, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. MacArthur doesn't. Churchill didn't. This is from the first Secretary General of NATO, Lord Ismay. I mentioned him. He talked about the establishment of the NATO alliance, and he said it was designed to keep America in, to keep Russia out, and to keep Germany down. Now, evidently, that mission statement is out the window. It's over. We're living in a new time. I guess we know more than Lord Ismay did, or MacArthur, or Churchill. This is Margaret Thatcher saying in 1995 about the EU and Germany's ambitions. This is 95, not 1945. 1995, she said, you have not anchored Germany to Europe. You have anchored Europe to a newly dominant, unified Germany. In the end, my friends, you'll find it will not work. Well, we're not quite to the end yet, but we'll see. Soon enough, we'll see. Who is right? Is it President Trump? Is it Margaret Thatcher? Lord Ismay? General MacArthur? We've got a powerful little booklet, by the way. We have had our last chance. General MacArthur talking about human nature and the spread of nuclear weapons. How could we possibly make the same mistake again? That's what they're asking over at the American Thinker. I'll read it to you in just a second. How could this happen again? We're just steamrolling ahead to World War III. That's what it amounts to. And few people are willing to say it. But here we're making, just compare all of these leaders coming out of World War II that said, listen, this is what we have to do. This was the reality. This is what the Nazi machine did. And now it's Trump Musk. I mean, that's the big story. That'll stay in the story. That'll stay in the narrative or in the news cycle longer than, you know, Jews getting gunned down in Washington, D.C. or nearly burned alive in Boulder, Colorado. Well, that's not that big of a story. I mean, yes, that's reality. But look, we've got some mean tweets to talk about. A feud right out in the open. A public spectacle. Powerful men, the president of the United States and the richest man in the world, behaving like children. And the whole world watching. The whole world watching the spectacle, even as the whole world rearms. Germany in particular. How about that? Bernard Connolly, he's the British economist. He said that Germany uses the EU as a cloak for their ambitions. The EU is a cloak for German ambitions. It's a kind of a camouflaged way to build an empire. And yeah, you can start first with the economy or with the political union, but then we'll come around eventually. It may be last on the to-do list because we don't want it to, you know, raise the alarm across the world. So we'll have the military rearmament last. And that's where we are. This is from one of our booklets. At the end of World War II, 1945, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill and U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt signed a document to prevent Germany from ever becoming a war machine again. Their statement from the Yalta Conference said, this is from Churchill and Roosevelt in 1945, it is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism, and to ensure Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. We're determined to disarm, and disband all German armed forces, break up for all time the German general staff that has repeatedly contrived the resurgence of German militarism. I mean, we've just seen it happen over and again. It's been repeated in cycles of history. There's a few interludes of relative peace, like Churchill said. But what has been the history? And has human nature changed? Look at Russia and Ukraine. Look at Hamas and Israel. This is from the Potsdam Agreement, also 1945, drawn up by the Allies. Again, for the purpose of preventing Germany from ever arming again. The Potsdam Agreement, the discussion at Yalta that led to the statement by Roosevelt and Churchill, Lord Ismay at the founding of the NATO alliance. You've got commentators like Bernard Connolly, former prime ministers like Margaret Thatcher, prime ministers of Britain, and evidently MacArthur. And they know. We know the history, and we should be talking about it all day today on MSNBC, on CNN, all over the place. Well, should we just completely sever our diplomacy, our strategy, our understanding of geopolitics from those great leaders of the past? Really, not even that long ago, 70, 80 years. Margaret Thatcher more recently. Today is the 81st anniversary of D-Day. I mean, this is happening. This is just a day removed from the Chancellor of Germany sitting down with the President of America in the Oval Office. And they had a brief exchange about whether or not Germany should rearm. and nobody's paying attention, nobody's listening. This is from an article we did last year at the 80th anniversary. The cost for victory was high, but it was necessary. Today we think about and honor that generation who gave so much for us. They were a generation more courageous, more willing to sacrifice, tougher, and more resilient than us today. That D-Day generation, the World War II generation. It says, yet the civilization they saved disappeared in their lifetimes. After two generations of broken families from the meat grinders of World Wars I and II, society began to unravel. The values and traditions they died for were overthrown, not with force, but through cultural revolutions. And we've talked so much about the communist infiltration of America that went on for decades, that Herbert Armstrong was sounding the alarm over, that very nearly radically transformed the United States for good. God intervened, though, to save America. As we discuss in America Under Attack, if you don't have that book, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. You can request the MacArthur booklet we have. We've had our last chance. God's trying to, he's trying to reach us. He's trying to wake us up. It says here, the new morality swept through Western civilization almost as swiftly as Hitler's Panzer divisions. It was a rebellion against repressive prudery, traditional morality and values, the very order men like my great uncle had just saved. This is by Abraham Blondeau, speaking of his great uncle. It says, it's a hard reality to accept that in the past 80 years, the Nazi war machine has survived while the civilization that D-Day saved has faded away. I mean, that's the truth. It's a hard reality, yes, but it's the truth. What is the grand lesson on this D-Day anniversary? The courage and valor of the men who landed on Normandy should be remembered and honored. Yet human sacrifice, no matter how noble, cannot solve our problems. It says the only way to overcome our degraded morality, combat the communist infiltration, and face the Nazi underground is to have the courage to repent toward God. Now is the time for spiritual sacrifice and valor to change our lives and allow God to fight our battles. Now's the time to wake up. Now is the time to turn to God in repentance. Now's the time. I mean, if you know, whether it's the history, like the president alluded to yesterday, or Bible prophecy, if you know the knowledge, God, I mean, he's holding us accountable for what we know. You have to do something with what you know. If God's opened your mind to the truth, that's not enough. What are you doing with it? How are you applying it? What changes is it bringing about in your day-to-day living? Where's the improvement? Where's the growth? This is what God's looking for. John 15 talks about producing fruit and how that glorifies God. It brings glory to God that you produce fruit, as Jesus said, and that your fruit remains, that you continue to produce. This article at the American Thinker, again, this is not our publication. This is just some author out there writing about the prospect of facing a World War III reality. It says, there are moments in history when all the chips are pushed to the center of the table for one consequential hand, and the future is decided accordingly. D-Day was such a gamble, and those who participated ensured Allied victory. I mean, we were so close to losing everything, losing our freedoms. And that happened just 80 years ago, 81 years ago. After the surrender of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, the survivors looked around at the utter ruin that dotted the map from Europe to the Pacific and concluded that such mass death and suffering could never be permitted again. We can't do this again. We can't make the same mistake. We did it in World War I. And then the technology increased and improved, and we had even more deadly weapons in World War II. And now look at where we are. Germany's rearming. And there's some in our history, our past, that say that's not a good idea, but I think it's a good idea. You look at what Iran is doing, the rush to build a nuclear bomb. The world is rearming. The world is viewing the spectacle that is the United States. Certainly it was yesterday. And they're also rearming. So there you go. It says they witnessed instantaneous destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and concluded that there must never be a third world war because it would surely be our last. I mean, that's very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. It's going to be so bad. The world's never seen anything like it. And were it not for God's intervention, we'd just wipe out the human race. There would be no flesh saved alive. That's what Jesus said at the Olivet Prophecy. I mean, this is one of the final sermons that he gave to his disciples who asked him, tell us the sign of your coming, the end of this age. Show us what's going to transpire, the events that are going to unfold before you return to this earth. And so Christ did. He spelled it out. And you put Matthew 24 together with Revelation 6, well, you can add in Luke 21. Tomorrow's news today, it says, then, just to make certain that the next war would definitely be our last, the United States and the Soviet Union spent the next 50 years building nuclear arsenals capable of killing everyone on Earth. This has been man's history. It's the story of war. It says, yet here we are 80 years after World War II, and we're galloping down that black road toward oblivion faster than ever. This is not thetrumpet.com. This is the American thinker. We're galloping. Interesting that he uses that analogy or that metaphor, because that's what John says in Revelation 6. These four horsemen are galloping. Apparently, too much of the world has been enjoying the comforts of peace for too long to worry about what comes when peace ends. This is difficult to believe. After all, much of the planet has been in a state of war rather recently. It's difficult to believe that our heads are this firmly buried in the sand. With D-Day here to remind us about the extraordinary lesson from this, the extraordinary cost of war, it says, please take a moment to pray for peace. Thoughtful people will disagree, but we should all wish to avoid Armageddon, the Armageddon of World War III. Pray for peace, this author says. God is certainly trying to get our attention. You look at this Trump-Elon war, and there's important lessons. I'm not saying it's a non-story. I mean, it should have been handled in private for sure. That's the way great statesmen used to deal with sharp disputes. I mean, they had it in Churchill's time. They had it during the Team of Rivals for sure with Abraham Lincoln. But Lincoln at least had a spirit of humility. And he, to some degree, was trying to get the nation to turn to God. There is no humility on display virtually anywhere in the world today. I mean, in stark contrast, what you see is exactly what Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy 3. He said that in the last days there would be a spirit of high-mindedness. That's what you see. You see it in statements like, we'll never default. This is not just a beautiful bill. This is the best bill we've ever sent to Congress. High-mindedness. and virtually no willingness to admit error or mistakes, and certainly not to turn to God in repentance. I mean, look at Doge as one example. Here comes Doge, and Elon Musk is not a perfect man. In fact, if you read Isaacson's biography about him, there's some, I mean, he's a little different, and not always in a good way. But, you know, God has a way of moving all these parts. I mean, we're all flawed, but there's some huge flaws on display with great statesmen of today, world leaders. And you're seeing a world increasingly full of war. I mean, the forever wars are intensifying, as I've been saying. But in any of it, Elon Musk comes along, Doge, he's their campaign. He didn't like Trump at all. I mean, he's a leftist. But he was converted to MAGA just last year, and now he's been excommunicated. There you go. What is going on? How did this happen? So he's heading up Doge, and right away, I mean, from day one, they're uncovering all kinds of fraud, waste, and abuse. And yet, what did Congress do with that? What does the big, beautiful bill do about that? Nothing. So here again, when you know, in this case, you know there's fraud, waste, and abuse. But if you don't do anything with it, what's the point? What difference does it make? What good does it accomplish? If you know the history, if you know Germany's history, and you know what the great statesmen of the day back in 1945, 1950, and so on, you know what they said after repeated cycles of world war, or certainly mass casualties in regional wars and such. If you know all of that, but you don't do anything with the knowledge, well, it's very dangerous, isn't it? Here, Doge uncovers all of these sins, but you have to go after sin. You've got it, like my father says in the Overcomer booklet, you've got to go on the offensive. You've got to eliminate the problem. You've got to get to root causes. You've got to look at the law of cause and effect. If you don't deal with the cause, the problem's just going to come back bigger than ever. Listen to what President Trump said in the Oval Office regarding the Ukraine war with Russia. Clip 12.
You say and believe apparently that there's no immediate peace.
What?
That there's no immediate peace. There will be no.
Well, I can't. I'd love to have immediate if I could. If I could, but we don't have immediate, you know. It's like, I'd love to have that. I'd like it to start. And right now, we would leave a room if we knew the war could end. We'd say, forget about you guys, forget about trade, right?
Yeah.
We'd say, let's go settle it. There's some additional fighting that's going to go on. You know, he attacked, and they attacked pretty harshly. They went deep into Russia. And he actually told me, I mean, I made it very clear. He said, we have no choice but to attack based on that. And it's probably not going to be pretty. I don't like it. I said, don't do it. You shouldn't do it. You should stop it. But again, there's a lot of hatred.
He told Putin, don't do it. But it's not going to work, I guess. Putin's going to retaliate. Yesterday, he said, you know, there may come a point with the German chancellor that we say, okay, you've rearmed enough. Don't do any more. Is it going to work then? It's not working with Putin. Hamas isn't being reformed. There's no repentance. What about the Al-Qaeda leader heading up Syria or the mullahs who chant death to America every week? If you know, I mean, at one point, you know, President Trump and many others knew Qatar and Iran, they were all sponsoring terrorism. But today it's very different. You know, one of the things that Elon Musk flashed on social media yesterday, all of these tweets from President Trump from 2012-ish, saying that I can't believe they're wanting to up the debt ceiling. anyone that if Congress people don't balance the budget, then they should be fired, basically. They shouldn't be able to seek re-election. I mean, just sound policy. He wasn't a president at that time. I've played clips recently, or from more recent, I guess, 2016 and 17 and so on, when he was coming into his first term. And, you know, maybe he didn't campaign on balancing the budget as much this time around, but you certainly had waste, fraud, abuse. I mean, just so much filth and lawlessness and stealing, thievery on display. But when the sins are made known, you've got to aggressively go after it and remove it. Remove the cause. Correct the cause. Correct what's wrong. And you see very little of that in Washington. For all of the peace deals that we hear discussed, I mean, how many of them have actually translated into peace? Isaiah 59:8 says, "The way of peace they know not." We just don't know the way. And like I said, you see that on every level, whether it's national or even individuals. What? Who's going to make peace between Elon Musk and Donald Trump? I mean, most people are saying it's, you know, it was a bridge too far yesterday to lump Trump in with, you know, Epstein and to say he should be impeached and we need to vote Republicans out. And I guess that means put Democrats in, although Elon Musk is saying we need a third party. I mean, you know, as this was playing out yesterday, I touched on it at the end of the show, but as it was playing out yesterday, I just thought, this makes me yearn for God's family government, God's kingdom all the more. It says in the Wonderful World Tomorrow book, governments promise peace, but bring wars. They promise benefits for people, and then extract from the people the cost of the benefits plus excessive costs of government. Somebody's got to pay. I mean, it's nice to hear that in the beautiful bill, taxes are reduced, no tax on tips. I mean, these are things that Donald Trump campaigned on. But why not that together with cuts, removing the fraud, the waste, the abuse? You don't want abuse to be embedded into a bill, do you? And if it is, how's it beautiful? Where's the humility? On all sides, I mean. Where is the humility to just lay it straight like you would if you're campaigning? We see it every time, don't we? Jesse Waters last night saying, sticking up for President Trump, saying, look, he campaigned on this beautiful bill. And there may be some pork in it, but you know, we can deal with the deficit down the road. That's what we've been dealing with for decades. And by dealing with, I mean, we're just kicking the can down the road. No one has the courage or the will to deal with it. When you're on the outside, it's so easy to criticize. It's so easy to say, well, why won't Congress do something? Why won't they get rid of the pork barrel spending? And then you get into power, and look what happens. Every single time, Mr. Armstrong said, when we take a hard, cold, realistic view of conditions and trends, they do point inevitably to a fast-approaching world crisis of combined nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, crime and violence, and the extinction of human life on this planet. I mean, that's what's in the American thinker today. Today, Mr. Armstrong wrote that probably 50, 60 years ago, probably before that. Hot wars all over the place. And at the Sun, over in the UK, which war are they devoting a lot of attention to? Well, the same war that everyone else is. Going nuclear, says the headline. Musk calls for Trump to be impeached and goes on wild Epstein rant after Don branded Elon crazy as feud explodes. They use the war terminology, explodes, nuclear. I mean, this is World War III in their minds. If they only knew. Here we are on the anniversary of D-Day. 81 years. And all of those boys, and so many of them were boys, storming the beach at Normandy, fighting against fascism and its spread, fighting for freedom, sacrificing their lives for a society or a nation that ended up being nothing like what they were fighting for. And in just a matter of a couple decades, that pendulum swing from the old morality to the new, as one of our individuals said on the chat, no new morality equals no morality. No standards. Total, complete breakdown of the institution of family, the traditional family, the foundation of any strong, stable society. It's gone. This article says the president also threatened to cancel all of Musk's federal contracts as the public falling out escalated. The feud started 3 days ago when Musk began fuming over the president's signature spending legislation that's currently making its way through Congress. He called it a disgusting abomination. And he was right. And we've been covering the feud this week. And I mean, it blew up yesterday. It went nuclear. Musk's furious responses snowballed into a barrage of attacks on the president, culminating with the ex-owner suggesting Trump should be impeached and replaced by J.D. Vance. Trump, for his part, he said, I don't mind Elon turning against me, but he should have done so months ago. This is one of the greatest bills ever presented to Congress. One of the greatest bills ever. And it just adds trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to the debt. Listen to Fox Business as they talk about the impact of this feud, this explosion, this going nuclear between President Trump and Musk, and whether it's even going to have any kind of an impact on the so-called beautiful bill, clip 13.
Do you believe that any of this sideshow is going to affect the fate of this bill? I mean, we really want to talk about debt, deficits, the spending cuts, and where this bill stands. What's your take?
Well, I thought originally Elon's comments basically emboldened the conservatives who wanted to cut some of the fat on this bill, maybe get rid of the salt, which is $385 billion next year alone out of the $416 billion additional deficit spending. And I thought that would be a good thing. I thought maybe getting rid of a lot of the IRA provisions, a lot of the bloated spending from the COVID era. But now I'm not really sure because we kind of lost it in the personalities and in the infighting. And I hope that doesn't detract the Senate from doing the right thing. I hope the comments don't derail that. But at the same time, I hope there's better accountability, too, because I know that this is coming to a crisis point. I don't want to see the Fed's increase rates. This is really important for the future of this country, not just in debt and deficit, but the economy as a whole.
So he's not even sure it's going to change at all as they just go forward and then kick the can down the road. No will to do what's right for our future. All these boys sacrificing their lives for our nation, for our founding documents, for our freedoms, for our future generations, our children. It all started yesterday in the Oval Office. Again, this all completely overshadowing the exchange with the German chancellor about German rearmament. A reporter asked about Elon Musk's criticism of the beautiful bill. And here's how that went down, clip 9.
The criticism that I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen, regarding Elon Musk and your big, beautiful bill, what's your reaction to that? Do you think it in any way hurts passage in the Senate, which, of course, what is you're seeking?
Well, look, you know, I've always liked Elon, and it's always very surprised. You saw the words he had for me, the words of, and he hasn't said anything about me that's bad. I'd rather have him criticize me than the bill, because the bill is incredible. Remember, he was here for a long time. You saw a man who was very happy when he stood behind the Oval Desk. And even with the black eye, I said, do you want a little makeup? We'll get you a little makeup. But he said, no, I don't think so, which is interesting. and very nice. He wants to be who he is, so you could make that statement too, I guess. Look, Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if we're well anymore. I was surprised because you were here. Everybody in this room practically was here as we had a wonderful send-off. He said wonderful things about me. You couldn't have nicer. Said the best things. He's worn the hat. Trump was right about everything. And I am right about the great, big, beautiful bill. We call it
the great, big, beautiful bill. He's right. And he's right. Never mind what MacArthur and Thatcher and them said. He's right about German rearmament as well. But what if we're wrong? Is that something to even consider or contemplate? And what will be the result? What will be the final, you know, outcome? If we are, I mean, it's like Churchill and MacArthur said, I mean, we're talking about making mistakes that you could only make once. Because of what's at stake here. Because of the power of modern weaponry. We're living in dangerous times, just as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. Perilous times. This is not the time for high-mindedness. This is the time for humility. This is the time to turn our hearts to God. Listen to clip 10.
I'm very disappointed in Elon. I've helped Elon a lot. And I'll tell you, he's not the first. People leave my administration and they love us. And then at some point they miss it so badly. And some of them embrace it and some of them actually become hostile. I don't know what it is. It's sort of Trump derangement syndrome, I guess they call it.
So he starts off with the Trump derangement. And then Elon immediately takes to X. And then all the dirty laundry on display for everyone to see. As I say, the world is watching the spectacle. Even as it rearms, even as it develops a powerful arsenal designed to kill millions and millions of people. You look at just how awful this whole scenario is. You know, on the one hand, Donald Trump, he wins the re-election. And Musk is mad he doesn't get more credit for that. I'll come to that a little bit later if I have time. But he's back in, but he has a very slim majority in the House. A few senators more in the Senate, but they have shown no will to reduce spending, to cut out fraud, waste, and abuse. So President Trump comes along. He just wants to push it on through. And yeah, there's some pork barrel spending in it. But, you know, it's beautiful. We'll just say it's beautiful. And there are some beautiful things in it. So that's got to be good enough. And then Musk, for his part, I mean, he's heading up Doge. And he's finding all this waste. And he's looking at Donald Trump saying, like, is this a body double? Is this the same man? And he throws up all those tweets from 2012. There was one from 2016, I think it was. Well, I don't even have time to get through all of this. In any event, Donald Trump responded on Truth Social saying, Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted. And he just went crazy. He went crazy. I mean, this is quite remarkable and stunning that it played out. The president of the single greatest superpower in history and the world's wealthiest man by far, going back and forth like this, going nuclear, as the regime media brought out. I mean, it certainly shows, just as a side point here, you know, those that would say Elon Musk was somehow controlling the White House. Well, that certainly isn't the case. You have a man in the White House who has very much king-like powers. He's described as such in the Bible. And we've talked about that a lot in recent years. as we tried to plug America under attack, it seems, every other minute on this show. So much prophecy being fulfilled. In any event, the regime media, they're watching this play. They're kind of all over the map. You know, how are they going to report on this? Of course, the Democrats have wanted this divorce, and now they got it. Listen to the media as they react to this this feud yesterday, clip 14.
I don't know if we had a couple of tweens in place doing their running their Twitter accounts, if it would look much different from this. I also think that it's sort of a stunning moment when you think about how often in politics we've thought about, like, well, what if a woman was in a position of power? Would they be too emotional? Look at what is going on here, right?
The girls are fighting.
Yeah, well, that was. But it's not. It's two powerful people who are having a very emotional, childish back and forth.
The lowest blows came from Elon's side when he posted, "Without me, Trump would have lost the election. Dems would control the House, and the Republicans would be 51-49 in the Senate." And then this one, "Time to drop the really big bomb. Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT." The president shot back. "Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do. And he just went crazy."
Why did Elon Musk suddenly go to 11 so quickly?
We will see where things are this morning. There is going to be a phone call to try to smooth things over. I wouldn't hold your breath. Maybe we'll get a ceasefire, but certainly this relationship is forever changed. It's not going to be the partnership that we saw to this point.
There was some reporting today about the possibility of a Trump and Elon Musk phone call to make nice. Aides are telling me that is not something they are tracking. It's possible that some staffers might try to talk to Musk, but no Trump and Musk call, at least not that we know about.
I asked Donald Trump about that. He said he's not particularly interested in talking to Elon Musk. He said Elon wants to talk to him. He's not ready to talk to Musk, who he called a man who has lost his mind.
He said, quote, "I'm not even thinking about Elon. He's got a problem. The poor guy's got a problem."
Elon's lost $152 billion today. The Tesla stock is down that much. And obviously Starlink, there's some risks around Starlink because they have so many government contracts. Tesla was already in a free fall in a lot of ways and having a lot of trouble. I think Caitlin's right that Epstein, I was surprised. A lot of people were saying, oh, this is all a stunt, like we're like wrestling or something. But the Epstein tweet, when I saw that, I was like, oh, he's going nuclear. And he's just decided to pull away.
Literally the entire world is focused on this remarkable feud between the president of the United States and Elon Musk.
The entire world focused on the spectacle, even as it rearms. Just to step back and to appreciate God's perspective here. There was a tablet article some time ago, we mentioned it on this program, quoted from it, but it's about how Barack Obama, the dear leader, built this omnipotent thought machine. And the article highlights that it was Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Bibi Netanyahu who blew up the machine, which basically ended up silencing Obama. This is the article, it took three powerful men, each of whom had the advantage of operating entirely in public and with massive and obvious real-world consequences, to rupture the apparatus of false consciousness that Obama built. It's quoting from David Samuels, the biographer, highlighting the roles of Elon Musk, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Donald Trump in the destruction of Obama's work and legacy. It says, Musk restored free speech to America, Netanyahu exposed Obama's sham Iran nuclear deal, and Trump led a 77 million voter revolt. So the fact that God brought all these parts together, in this case, Musk, Trump, and Bibi, to destroy this omnipotent thought machine, to expose Obama, to silence Obama. And then looking at it from the devil's perspective, I mean, isn't that the way the devil works? because here we're just 6 months into Donald Trump's presidency, 5 months, I guess. And you've already seen daylight between Trump and Netanyahu. I mean, that was from day one. We talked about the betrayal of Israel. And now this relationship with Elon Musk is blown up. For a brief moment in time, as I say, he converts to MAGA, and then now he's gone. He's excommunicated. But think about that moment in time where they came together. I mean, we had a lot to say about God's hand, even in Elon Musk purchasing Twitter, just to restore some semblance of free speech on social media platforms. And then the biography on Musk, where he has very little, if anything, to say that's good about Donald Trump, but he becomes a convert. And he's showing strong support for Donald Trump right up until the election and beyond the establishment of Doge and all of that. This is from an article we had in September of last year. It says here, at this point, the Make America Great Again movement is its own distinct phenomenon. First, it was the liberal tech entrepreneur Elon Musk who endorsed Trump to defend free speech from the censorship industrial complex. And it talks about bringing all of these, you know, people from different backgrounds, different political persuasions together, you know, not unlike Lincoln with the team of rivals. But as I say, it's a little different when you have Lincoln saying, we have forsaken God. We've got to turn back to God. Lincoln led with some humility. Lincoln was quoting scripture often. Lincoln said all of our blessings came from God, not from us. Where's that message today? Where's humility? You see all of these, I mean, you not only see nations rising up against nations, you see allies, you know, politically, individually, friends that are now going nuclear. But think about God bringing this odd couple together, Trump and Musk, last year. In my mind, it's not unlike the head tilt on July 13. Just turn the head a little bit to protect Donald Trump. He's coming back. And then, okay, let's send over the world's richest man. And they've got a lot of differences. There's some massive egos at play here. But, you know, Elon Musk, he said yesterday that he was responsible for Trump getting elected. And, of course, Donald Trump doesn't like that. Our position is that God is responsible for bringing Donald Trump back. And what a remarkable year it was, 2024, to see God moving all these pieces into play. Silence Obama on one hand, tilt the head over here. And then Elon Musk shows up. Now he's Donald Trump's biggest fan. And it was all so short term and temporary. The sure word of Bible prophecy, though, I mean, that's been consistent, right? Of course it has. This is from an article we had in January. Look at the ways God has helped Trump since those dark days. He sent the world's richest man. The world's richest man, Elon Musk, to buy Twitter and make sure that conservative Americans had a way to freely express their ideas and opinions. He sent the Supreme Court. I don't have time to get into all of it. Without these miracles and other miracles, President Trump would have been censored, imprisoned, or killed. God's purpose stands. God, in the midst of hot wars or wars of rhetoric carried out on social media platforms for all the public to see, it is important, isn't it, to step back and to get God's perspective. Always, always. What does God think? What is God doing? What does Bible prophecy say? And I'll continue next week if I can. From where we left off yesterday with that passage in Isaiah 59, carrying on into chapter 60, where it speaks of the return of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. the establishment of God's government on this earth, headed up by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a returning Jesus Christ. So there's a lot that we can get into. A lot, as I said at the start, a lot of different angles that you can come at these sometimes crazy events that are transpiring. I've taken you a minute overtime, but I won't charge you for that extra time. This is the Trumpet Daily, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. And we appreciate you joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.